terms of the lawsuits, you're talking, well, there's a problem because there's no antitrust laws here in Canada. I know, I'm sure everyone here reads that budget from time to time, and I thought I had read something in one of their previous articles about how they were trying to draw funding for a lawsuit against PanWest, and it was going into its second round or something like that. I was just wondering if you knew anything about it, or if any of you guys have tried to get involved with the groups involved in that magazine.
I know they were facing a suit as well.
I thought it was a suit that they had brought against PanWest, though. Something about, or maybe it was against the media broadcasters here in Canada because they were trying to do like advertisements.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. They wanted to put some advertising on a newspaper or TV program, and it was turned down, and they were going to court over that. That's what it was. There was a little clue there.
Other questions? Comments?
Well, I'm interested for all of you in the link between the reporting or the writing and the activism. Because you go to events now and you see as many people with videos as you see participants in the demonstrations. So how do you see those links? And what do you do to actually build on the ground stuff?
Like a few thoughts. I did a presentation quite some time back about alternative media, and I think one of the characteristics, and I'm specifically thinking about radio here because that's what I do mainly, and that is the interchangeability of roles. So I think that's a very important characteristic. As Adriana was saying, there's the accountability to the movements and so on, but there's also an interchangeability of roles, and so how that plays out with Red Eye or Co-op Radio, for instance, would be that listeners are interchangeable with guests who we interview for their expertise, whether they be activists, academics, or people involved in some particular issue, who are then also interchangeable with people that do the program. So those three, in radio, there's those three elements would be considered to be interchangeable, and there's a flow between them. People who listen become broadcasters. People who, I can think of one person who's a great broadcaster who said, expose her Saturday mornings. So she went back to being a listener, which is a tragedy for us, but it's fine for her. So I think there's that. That sort of structural component to it. But then also, I think that people generally do tend to come from some sort of activity. They come from a frustration with the mainstream to alternative media. You wouldn't think, or alternative media or community media or radical media wouldn't come to mind unless you're frustrated with what primarily exists and dominates. So I suppose there's that, and so we found that many people do have links in other movements and so on. I'll just mention one person because Brian's mentioned him already. Mordecai Greenberg is one of the long-term members of the show I work on, Red Eye, and one of the things that's done, I was talking to a friend about this evening earlier today, and he said, well, what I'd be interested in hearing about, or what are the recurrent topics, the recurrent themes that come up on the show? And so one really extraordinarily important topic that we've always covered for 20-odd years on Red Eye is Palestine, Palestinian rights, Middle East issues, Israeli militarism and the likes, and all the related issues. And that is primarily because of Mordecai Greenberg is a passionate advocate for those rights, and has been involved in every collective meeting. So, there's an organic connection, to some extent.
Yeah, just on the connection between activism and media, I think, it should just become like breathing for activist movements to cover their own events. Based on the experience of that we've had in Stop War, the anti-war coalition here in Vancouver, often in 2003, lead up to the war, we'd have 10,000, 15,000 people out on the weekend, and the Sunday Province and the Monday Vancouver Sun would not even carry a picture. Or one time they had an article like dozens or hundreds attend anti-war events, but the picture you could see like thousands of people taking over the Barrister Bridge or whatever. So we're lucky in Vancouver, we have several video collectives. And if people are interested in video activism, they should see about supporting them or getting involved. There's Fearless TV, there's Global Justice Television, and Working TV. And all of them, they use the Shaw cable access time and try to get as much time as possible. And they also post all of their videos on the web. So many, many major public forums and demonstrations are seen by a lot more people at home flipping through channels than actually go to the events, because we're lucky to have those video collectives. So I think those are very important. And just one other link I wanted to draw was, I think we, in terms of the whole issue of getting into the mainstream media and how it works, I do think we have to consider and, no, not consider, we need to privilege tactics that would be considered more disruptive than we've been using, noisier or less polite. And just use the example of, you can ignore 10,000 people walking around downtown, there's no event as far as the media is concerned, because you're just a bunch of leftists walking around downtown shouting slogans. Compare that to the Spirit Train disruption that happened last weekend, which, you know, the corporate media put their spin on it, right? I don't know if people saw it or people who were at the demonstration. Maybe 50 demonstrators or something in that range went out to Port Moody, was it? I'm just getting all this from Global, that's where I saw it. I wasn't able to go to... And the Dominion covered it as well. But this big, ridiculous... Well, it wasn't big, there was hardly anyone from the public there, but this big waste of money to send a train across Canada to let people know Olympics were happening in Vancouver. And, you know, I think they had some washed-up Canadian musicians performing as well. No, there was one that was, like, a big name. Colin James, like... So, I mean, this was the lead story on the evening news, and all the demonstrators did was go up in front of the stage and getting front row seats for Colin James before he got there. And, if, you know, there was one woman with kids who came and confronted them, and, you know, the story, the spin that the global television put on was, oh my God, these demonstrators made these kids cry. But the fact is, like, regardless of the spin they can put on it, at least people sitting at home who wouldn't have known about that demonstration saw that there is an opposition to the Olympics. They could see the banners and so forth. And I think when activists do organize these things in order to get into the mainstream media, they should make sure that they have their spokespeople assigned. Like, it's very important to designate who the spokesperson is and to have it be someone from the group. Because, again, going back to the anti-war rallies, often you'll put on this great big rally, and sometimes the media will actually come out and cover it. But they just want to talk to the politicians who have shown up to be associated with it. And the politicians just want to talk to the media and then leave. So often you won't actually get the message of the people who have organized the demonstration out, or the message of the majority of people there. It won't come across. The other people will monopolize the media attention you've created. So as activists, we should always consider that it is important. It doesn't come naturally to most activists to be aggressively putting themselves up as media spokespeople, but I think we have to sort of foster that culture of doing that so other people don't come along and co-opt that.
Thanks, I'll be quick. I was going to talk about the Spirit Train as well. I actually think the mainstream coverage of that was so bad that it was actually good. Like, the mainstream coverage was so pathetic that you have James Moore, MP, talking about if the only thing this protest is about is making kids cry, then obviously all these protesters are wrong, but people are smarter than that. I mean, the mainstream media has made us subservient mentally in a lot of ways, but people are a lot smarter than knowing that the reason people go demonstrate is not to make kids cry. So, you know, at least for me, I don't know, but, you know, and anyway, so, but, and we had a story out on that the next day on the Dominion, and that's where we want to get with serious independent media in this country, is being able to cover the stories that the mainstream is covering, but being able to cover them in a way that gives readers the context and the background to understand the actual issues that are going on, and to allow people to make informed decisions about why people are demonstrating and if they are or are not in favor of us. I actually think that one of the big projects of the mainstream media in Canada right now, and it's been going on for a long time, but I've been sort of away for a while and I've just noticed it really strong since I've come back, is to basically polarize us as a society into the people that support the government and the people who are against the government. That's the current project of the mainstream media. If you're down with all the stuff that's going on, then you're okay and you're in the fold, and if you're against it, then you're some kind of radical and all your arts funding will be cut. So that's where we'd like to get, I think. And the other thing is the concept of embedded reporters, which a lot of people, we've accepted it, and people have accepted it without realizing that they're reading stories written by embedded reporters in Afghanistan or in Iran, or in Iraq, or not in Iran, in Iraq. But pardon me?
I said you are ahead of the curve.
Thanks, Charlie. He's a comedian. I wish he'd come up here right now. But anyways, don't do that, Don. Not funny to heckle a comedian when he's not on duty. The embedded reporter, as in reporters or journalists embedded within social movements, is something that we should and can consider as part of essentially our tactics as we try to inform people about what's happening.
Somebody else? There's a woman behind you. So I think so.
Oh,
go ahead. Hi. So, corporate media is fairly right-wing, and everything that you guys seem to be doing is fairly left-wing. So, how do you expect to get quote-unquote ordinary Canadians to stay behind independent media if they don't share your political beliefs?
Good question.
So,
one, two. Is that working? Oh, it is working. Sorry about that. It's not quite loud. The way I look at it, I think, have done with, is that we don't expect to get the majority of ordinary Canadians behind it. I think that we have to be a bit of a thorn. I suppose, ideally, I would like programming that does upset a good percentage of our listeners, you know, once in a while, that it doesn't leave us. I think the mainstream of media, in terms of its content, it's a soporific in many ways. It, you know, like sometimes it's a wired soporific, but that's not a contradiction in terms. But it keeps the status quo, it keeps it even, it protects what's going on in the world, whereas I think one of our roles is to disrupt that vision, and even to disrupt it amongst the left. It's not as if the left has a clear, unified vision. I won't go on there.
I think the mainstream media has been is often, you'll see that the editorials in the Globe and Mail, editorials right across the board, are often out of step with majority opinion. And just so I don't know if I share the premise so much. I think the most unrepresentative section of our media is the mainstream
Post.
Corporate media. Well, not even the National Post. I mean, just the thing taken in a block. And I would include the CBC. The thing I'll talk about is the anti-war and the war in Afghanistan, because it's the most glaring, and I'm thinking about this all the time. But consistently for the past year, at least 50% of Canadians have been opposed to the so-called mission. Now it's up to like 58 or 60%, depending on the surveys. And yet this is after 7 years of just absolute blackout of actual anti-war perspectives in the mainstream media, including the CBC. You have the main guy at the CBC, Peter Mansbridge, is absolutely committed to Canada's war in Afghanistan, and has been the whole time. He's been carrying the flag, literally taking the Nationals to Afghanistan, night after night, day after day. Editorials, we have to stay the course, we have to stay the course. Well, now just till 2011, but whatever. So I think the influence of the print media in particular is really waning. I mean, along with their profits that Don was pointing to. So, it's true that the media outlets that we're representing tend to be to farther left than mainstream opinion. That's fine. But I think that if we want to be more create a media that's more representative even of where opinion is already, people should financially support independent media. You know, they should read it, even if they don't agree with it entirely. And just generally, media concentration is opposed to democratic principles and pluralism. And so I think independent media has an important role, again, as I said, not just of getting a more pulling the thing to the left, but also intervening in actual legislation and trying to break up these monopolies and change the situation of ownership and use of the public airwaves.
With the Dominion, the way that we're trying to reach out, I guess, to more folks in Canada and North America is by having journalists working for us, running stories that aren't rants, having some kind of editorial work happening, where we're trying to put information out there that actually lets people make up their own minds, but that does present other sides of the stories than what you're reading in the mainstream media, which has a huge bias, but will constantly deny that bias. So the idea is to try to push the quality standards in terms of where alternative media has been in the last couple of years in this country, and try to get more solid reporting happening from the grassroots, from people connected to movements, but that are able to present the information in a way that does let people... I mean, the goal is people make their own minds up regardless, right? So not just presenting the one side, but presenting all the information, because most of it's being hidden from us right now.
I'm reporting from this corner guard.
I'd say with regard to the like all the people who read the mainstream corporate media and how we can't reach them or whatever, like social movements aren't just the result of alternative media, they're the result of social conditions. So the conditions that create resistance movements, that's what, you know, that's the real factor in a sense. And that's what the conditions that we're in now and that we're facing in the near future are probably far more conducive to organized resistance movements than we have seen recently in the past. And with that, the alternative media would just expand as your social movements expand, because it's not just built on some alternative media institutions. It's based on the movements of the people.
Thank you. Do you guys
have specific questions? You actually recall, what you said about the takeover, the Candace takeover several years back for $3.2 billion, and they had 17 newspapers in Canada plus a few, you know, TV channels. That is a good example of the monopoly, of course. Here we have a situation like that. But I think instead of probably waiting for a revolution to happen to really rectify this situation, probably what we can do is that. Formulate a democratic, mechanism so the public can have oversight, and they deserve to have oversight, on corporate media. And that can be part of the democratic process, elected members, like a committee, Media Watch Committee, for example, something like that, that we can press for and we can propose. And that could lead us to somewhere, to... I mean, there have been incidents that I've seen, there's no resort, this newspaper, the North Shore News, was really one of the most racist papers across Canada. And there was Mr. Doug Collins, maybe you have heard about him, one of the columnists in the North Shore News, and he was writing a lot of, racist articles and attacking the communities, and finally the CJC, Canadian Jewish Congress, they had the lawyer, and they offered $275 million to bring the Collins, to trial. And the Human Rights Tribunal, for this I was attending it every single day, it took 2.5 months, and the paper was condemned, and Doug Collins was also condemned and asked to apologize. He never did, and the media continued, the same path. Through the editor, after Doug Collins was out of the paper, the editor was doing the same role. So, I was going to ask you what you think about this kind of mechanism, called like local media watch committee, that we can have, and one for the national papers, you know, elect representatives for the first step. Thank you.
I kind of vaguely remember the Doug Collins stuff, and I remember there were protests organized against him. It wasn't just the Canadian Jewish Congress who launched some lawsuit against him. Like, there's like communities, when they're affected by these negative journalists or whatever, they can take action and do something about it, right? It's like, it was like that concerted effort that kind of like helped neutralize Doug Collins and his propaganda platform, which is more Shore News. And it's the same with like any other community that's affected by some negative media reporting. Like, they can take action and put pressure on these different corporations. They're not just some legal, I mean, that can be a part of it, but.
Thank you. Somebody there?
I just would like respond to that. North Shore News is a Canada's paper, so I identified that before, but it's part of the media monopoly that's essentially trying to control the way Vancouverites think, make decisions, and the level of discourse in the city is very determined by the folks, and especially the centralized, high-level people making decisions on what happens in these papers. My rebuttal is the media cooperative model. So the Dominion paper, our website is dominionpaper.ca or mediacoop.ca. It's a way of giving folks, readers, a stake in what they're reading.
Yeah, I just say, I mean, I wanted to talk about it in my talk. I wanted to say earlier how I think one of the problems we have in Canada, again, on the left, is that we are completely and utterly and hopelessly fixated on politics in the United States. So we don't...
Yeah. That's why there's less people here tonight, because they're all watching the Obama-McCain debate, right?
Well, you forgot to put debate in quote marks. So progressives in Canada, we know the ins and outs of the polls between McCain and Obama, and you know, you see these Canadian leftists who have Obama as their Facebook profile. When he is running on a platform to the right of Stephen Harper.
And maybe he's running along down the beach as well.
In the photo,
right.
The photo of him running along the beach.
That's another
good Facebook
photo. But yeah, the point of all this was just that I think in the independent media that we do, we do need to actually bring in things that are happening in Europe to a small extent, but mostly in other parts of the world, especially what's going on in Latin America. We have governments that have an extremely, they have a revolutionary outlook and are they have tied to social movements that are trying to transform society. There's all kinds of problems, but incredible things are happening that we don't know anything about, and I think it really limits our perspectives in terms of what's possible politically. Just to give a small example from Latin America, in Venezuela, there you have a socialist government with buckets of oil wealth, barrels of oil wealth, I guess, and the government is providing millions of dollars to set up media cooperatives, community radio in the poor barrios and in the countryside. And they've also created Telesur, which is a South American alternative to CNN and Al Jazeera for Latin America, which is for the first time providing Latin American news to Latin Americans, rather than you turn on your television in Chile and you're watching the American congressional news or whatever. You're now hearing Latin Americans are now have their own CNN, and it's helping the process of integration and the radicalization of that continent. But here in Canada, we don't really. We don't inform ourselves of that, and I think the independent media, we should spend less time sort of republishing leftists analyzing Obama and whatnot, even when we're critiquing him, and more time, I think, looking at some of the exciting things that are happening much further to the south in Latin America.
I think I caught from your question there that you're interested in having some sort of media criticism happening on a regular basis. Is that the case that you were talking to?
No, actually, I was proposing to, make a movement to create a mechanism, a democratic mechanism, to oversight corporate media.
I see.
You know?
Yes, okay.
Like
no,
the Media Watch Committee of Vancouver, for example,
okay.
Toronto or whatever,
yes.
And then
yes.
A National Media Watch.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed. There was in the 70s, I think, and 80s, there was an international media watch group or one. There was something happening in Britain around that time anyway. You know, there have been efforts. I think when you have a popular effort, it tends to evolve, and that's not necessarily giving it a positive value, from criticism and watching the mainstream to creating its own information. It's a sort of natural evolution. There was a very interesting experiment in the States many years ago, I don't think it's still going, called Lies of Our Times, which Chomsky and a number of others were involved with, which basically took apart the New York Times on a monthly basis and said, you know, analyzed it and provided really good criticism. And interestingly enough, the origins of Co-op Radio were around this muckraking group that were really about that. And I've heard of, but never actually heard, programs where people would actually get the daily news, put it on the table in front of them in the studio, and take it apart there and then. That takes a lot of skill and a lot of organization, and then you start replacing it with your own news. So I think it's a hard thing to sustain, but it's a very interesting and valuable idea.
Dzerzhinsky is here tonight, Zbigniew Dzerzhinsky, Bush administration's main democratic critic, the former national security advisor, you know, of Carter administration. He's in Vancouver tonight at Four Seasons Hotel. And you need to see tomorrow how much media coverage he is going to get, you know, in his criticism of Bush administration and all of that tomorrow. I was going to go there, but the coverage tonight for 3 hours, including dinner, was $500.
Wow.
I didn't want to go picketing there because I was going to sit down and listen to you.
Thank you. Here there is another question, and I think with that we're going to end. I just want to remind you that there is an excellent sangria or chata.
Very good.
Very good. Okay, horchata, tamarindo, coffee and tea, and also mollete, which is bread, beans, and cheese. It's great. And also cake. Okay. Yeah, cake. It's a pie. Yeah, it's cheap and good, and there is a lot. Of course, at the end of this, there is music because it's a way to resist dancing and being happy.
One project that exists, sort of like what you're talking about, I think, at least in the States, is a publication that comes out, I think, bi-monthly called Extra, which is put out by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And it's sort of a dissection of U.S. media mostly, but it's very good. I have a question, but I just wanted to quickly say, like, I also think... when we're being critical of the CBC, which I think is very appropriate, I think it's also worth remembering that Canwest Global, one of the companies that we've been talking about tonight, has been on a decades-long campaign against public broadcasting in this country, and that part of the distortion that the CBC has become has been as a result of trying to accommodate that onslaught against the idea of non-profit, publicly financed broadcasting. So I think it's worth keeping that in our critique of the CBC, because I do think that the CBC is institutionally something that we have an interest in defending. And I think the more that there's sort of publicly funded and collective media models, I think are sort of in it together against private for-profit models of media ownership. My question, I guess, was about like what the best way is for the different independent media initiatives in this country to work together and not at odds. I mean, there's a whole strength in numbers and diversity strength thing, and then there's also the problem of like fighting over a fairly small number of resources. Ravel is kind of a good indicator of like how an aggregator can work, because I guess you're able to use like material from the Dominion, material from Red Eye and stuff like all at this one site. But there are a lot of like really great publications like Briar Patch and Megaphone, Canadian Dimension, and just to name a few. So I guess my question is, like, to what extent should this newer generation that's coming into media activism try and link up with some of what's already existing, and then to what extent, like, do we try and create new things and make sure that they exist in a complementary way to what's already on the table?
We start from the left or the right? Always the left.
That's a good corrective or reminder about the whole CBC thing. And I think I misunderstood this gentleman's question. I thought you were talking about government programs that are, you know, government-initiated watchdog or something.
Public oversight. Public oversight is different from government oversight. Of course, the public should also oversight government.
Yeah, government. I was imagining the government helping set up or some sort of new program, publicly funded. But I was thinking that, you know, we have to not only just be defensive about not getting rid of the CBC or cutting off their funding if they revert to their slightly critical of the conservative agenda type of editorial policy, but we have to reimagine a public broadcaster that would be much better funded. That would provide a lot more seed funding for local media initiatives and programs and actually have local reporting and arts and spin-offs and other things on CBC Radio and so forth. Instead, it's always just this defensive thing that everybody on the left has been doing for the last 25 years. So I was just thinking of going beyond that. And just in terms of media cooperation of the independent media, The independent media that exists, alternative media in Canada, is smaller, and also we don't have access to the same kind of foundation funding. I don't know if it's their tax laws or what, but a lot of the U.S. publications that you probably know and love, like Mother Jones, and the publications in that line, they do get a certain, they have budgets that make us very jealous here in Canada. So it is really important, I think, what Charlie's mentioning is having cooperation, and I think, you know, having correspondents write for multiple publications. In the U.S., they have something called the Corporate Media Consortium. It sounds like a corporate thing, but it's the Media Consortium is this 70 or more alternative media organizations. They have a listserv. They have conferences, I think, twice a year to sort of strategize and share resources. And we should definitely be moving towards that in Canada, having a sort of formal coalition, I think, of from the Dominion, you know, Rabble, Briar Patch, Canadian Dimension, and a lot of other publications as well. So I think there are discussions about getting a more formal structure set up on that.
Can I say something? Let's wait until all these
okay.
Presenters respond, and then we'll go.
I just wanted to make a quick comment on the CBC thing, because, of course, you know, I absolutely agree with you. And to bring it back to alternative media, one of the roles of alternative media is to keep CBC honest as well. If it weren't for the alternative media, CBC could much more comfortably drift further right, and would do so. Like we've even sometimes had CBC reporters call up and say, "Do you have a phone number for that guy?" And so on. So it definitely helps having an alternative media, and the stronger it is, the more we can pull CBC towards the left, indeed. I think it's a great question, and I don't really actually have an answer to it, but around new groups, I think we've really got to be open to new people and new ideas in our own media projects. And probably about 10 years ago, I was involved in a little project to try and pull a media space together for, I think I invited probably about 20 different community media projects in Vancouver to it. And it didn't really go anywhere. I think we had about 3 or 4 meetings, and everyone was desperate for infrastructure. Everyone was desperate for something, but there was very, very little to put in, and so it kind of fizzled in that sense. But I think any effort, maybe having mediating it with the internet, might make some sort of collaborative effort more successful. So it's always time for another approach at that, I think. So it's really good that you raised it.
Well, thank you. There is I'm going to respect the order and what the people raise their hands. There is one at the back, then the you. Yeah, he raised the hands
way, Sloan back, and then Harsha. And with these three questions, we're going to finish, and we're going to give a final round. So you, and then you. I'm going to ask you three people to stand.
I got a question, more of a comment about the attack on CBC by Ken West is really well detailed in a book called Aspiration, as well as a whole concentration of media in Canada. So it's just a resource. And I came across a new volunteer group called SAWA here in Vancouver, S-A-W-A. And they are looking for videographers, people who will do video journalism about issues around the world or right here in the backyard. And finally, there's the point of journalists around the world who are being attacked, murdered, tortured, mainstream journalists as well. And there are groups that advocate for them in Canada called CJFE, Canadian Journalists for Freedom of Expression, and there's Canadian Journalists for Human Rights. So that's another issue of the journalists out there that are not allowed to do their job or tied up or tortured or imprisoned and all that. So, some comments.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're correct.
Microphone. I'm Arlene Bowman. I'm Dene, known as Navajo, and I'm from the United States. I don't feel like you should be so dismissive of events. I mean, the news that's happening and events that are happening in the United States. It's like with the indigenous people, there's like issues that go on at the border between the Tohono and O'odham people. And all that, and then there's also, you know, the walk two that happened from the west to the east that just finished about in July. So things like that go on in the United States, and with indigenous people, and it's always gone on. You know, those the news, it's not even reported. And in fact, I have a friend; she has a blog that called Censored News. And it's, she's a journalist, and she used to report for Indian Country Today. But so she's a really good reporter, and reported about the Long Walk 2 this summer, and everything that goes on environmentally, and so lots goes on down there among the indigenous. Just want to say that. So things do happen in the United States.
For sure. So thank you. Harsha?
I can just talk loudly.
You?
No, that's okay.
You?
Thank you. She can speak loud. I just have a quick, not a question, but just a quick comment on Charlie's comment around media collaboration and cooperation, and just to throw out some stuff around that. I think the NCRA, which is around campus radio, does a really, really good job of trading programming. And over the past few years, for example, especially trading news programming and audio documentaries, and that's worked incredibly well, and I think CKLN and CKUT, for example, have seen their listenership grow up like off the roof, almost 60-70% in terms of having like really high quality programming that's shared. And also, people may know about this, but the National Allied Media Conference that happens in the States every year has decided to launch a grassroots media tour all throughout the United States, especially in light of, although there's a lot of foundation funding in the States, people might know Clamor, Bitch, and a whole lot of publications have been forced to shut down. And so there's a grassroots media tour that's happening tonight throughout the United States with specifically publications throughout this year. I think it starts in November and goes on till about January. So it's something that if people here connect to are interested in, it might be worthwhile trying to figure out, especially because it's so close to the border, but that kind of difference is, although the content is different, it might be really, really amazing to figure out ways to coordinate, especially between publications along the lines of collaborating, or at least within Canada, but across the border is arguably easier. Seattle is a lot closer than, you know, other cities in Canada, although it's the same country, so just to throw those out there for people.
So there is definitely something going on. There is alternative media on the north. And just a final round, I don't know if the presenters wants to say some final words, and then with that we end.
Spring break!
Okay, so...
Recess! Focus on one
more. Okay, so...
You mind if it's... is it end, the question, Tora, or can
yes,
I ask it?
Yes.
It's end?
Oh, it's over?
Okay.
It's okay. We're all free to dance now.
Yes, and now we're going to have the DJ Latino, and don't forget that there is food and drinks here. Thank you so much for your presence, and stay tuned with Alternative Media. Thank you so much to all the presenters.